chapter 12 over to much more practical matters. And this particular passage, you can't get much more practical than this. Very thankful, actually, that God put in His Word how we are to respond to our government, because He leaves no question about it. And so that makes it easy for us as Bible-believing Christians to know that God laid it out very clearly for us. So notice chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So be subject unto the higher powers. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would give us your wisdom and your guidance as we open your word together now, and that you would teach us from it, and we would be open-hearted about it, and Lord, that you would be pleased with this service and our response to your precious word. We are grateful that you've laid things out for us so clearly, and we love you for it, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. That word subject there in verse 1, same as the word submit. We are to be submissive to our government. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, this command is reiterated for us here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Peter 2:13. Notice it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So again, he talks about the king or governors, because he knew that there would be different forms of governments. Some have monarchies and some have other things. But the point is this word submit. And then again in Titus chapter 3, we'll see it another time here in the pastoral epistles, Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul here giving Titus advice. And one of the things he tells Titus here in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, put them, talking about the people in his church that he's pastoring, in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. So there it even goes down another level to just the magistrate level. But again, we notice this time he uses the word subject and obey. So God is not ambiguous about the command in Scripture to obey the government that he's placed above us. Remember, he said there in verse 4, he is the minister of God. We must always remember God is sovereign and that God will give us the government that we deserve as a country, as a region, whatever. God is ultimately in control. He tells us that in Proverbs 21:1, if you want to turn there. And did you notice also there in Titus 3, the second verse said, speak evil of no man. Isn't that interesting? So it's in context, isn't it? obey and speak evil of no man. Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it, whithersoever he will. Talking about God. So then, that's talking about God's sovereignty over his creation. And he says that he is in control, even of who the king is, and even the direction that the king takes. So we are commanded, and a lot of people say, so are there any exceptions? Well, there's one. We're given in Acts chapter 5, which we'll talk about, and that has to do with his word. But up to that point, we're commanded to obey. God is very clear. So what's the alternative when we have a government that we disagree with? You know, we talked about this in our ethics class. And 1 Timothy 2, if you turn there, gives us what we're supposed to be doing. It's easier to blame politicians or be angry at politicians than it is to pray for them, isn't it? But God commands us to pray for them. And they might even be our enemy because of what they believe, what they put forward. But we're to pray for our enemies too. But notice 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Then he clarifies it and says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So notice it says, all that are in authority, we're to pray for them. So that should be on our prayer list, our leaders, whoever they may be, local and national. And again, the exception is Acts 5:29, so we'll turn there. And yes, God did give us an exception, and that exception, of course, is when we are commanded by our government to disobey God's word. And when that happens, we have to obey the higher authority, which is God and his word. Now, the context here is that Peter and the apostles were preaching about Jesus Christ. Of course, that's why many were getting saved. But the Jewish leaders were upset, of course, about this, and they got the local government involved and pulled them in and commanded them. Verse 28, straightly did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. So now we see why they're angry. Not only because everybody's hearing about Jesus, but because you can't preach about what's happened without making it clear to people that the Jews were involved in the crucifixion. And that made them even more angry. Verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So, yes, if the time comes and the government commands us to disobey God's word, then we have to obey God. But up until that point, God's word is clear that we have to obey our government. After this all happened, look at verse 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them. It's easy to just slip over those three words, isn't it? So this is the same event here. They've commanded them to not preach in the name of Jesus. Peter took it as an opportunity to preach to them. And when they were all finished, they then beat the apostles, which was against the law, but they did it anyway. And then they again commanded them, verse 40, not speak in the name of Jesus, and then they let them go. And I love the apostles' response in verse 41. Very, very important and good for us as Christians. Verse 41, they departed from the presence of the council, angry that the Jews had broken the law. Is that what it says? No. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I love that verse. Thank you, Lord, that you allowed us to be beaten for the name of Jesus Christ. Think about that. Thank you that you allowed us to suffer some shame for your sake. And what did they do? Verse 42. Daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not. So they disobeyed the command to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. It says daily they continued to teach and preach Jesus Christ because God had commanded them to. Amen. So yes, there's an exception, and that is if we are commanded by our government to disobey God's word, then we have to obey God. Up to that point, we should be praying for our leaders and obeying them. Then he talks about taxes. So there's no question about that either. Verse 6 of Romans 13. Because I've met Christians before that think, well, I don't have to pay taxes because my government's evil, and therefore I don't have to contribute to their evilness and so forth. For this cause, verse 6, pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continued upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. Remember when Jesus was questioned about taxes. Was the government wicked? Absolutely. It was Rome. They were corrupt. They were wicked. They hated the Jews. And that's in Matthew 22. Let's turn there. Because at that point, Jesus could have answered in a number of different ways. When it came to this question, he could have said, well, no, I'm greater than Caesar. I'm God. So, no, you don't have to pay taxes. But here in Matthew 22, verse 17, it says, tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And we know the other time when he was questioned again, and he sent Peter to catch a fish, which had the tribute money in its mouth. So he worked a miracle. So we are to, if you look at that last verse, Romans 13, 7, he not only talks about taxes, but then he talks about custom, fear, and honor. So he even commands, if you go to 1 Peter 2:18, servants, which in Bible times a servant was actually a slave. He says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. So he says, you servants, you must obey your master, even if he's not a good master. That's in the scriptures. Look at the verse before it. Honor all men. So, tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. God obviously gets the highest honor because he is the sovereign God of the universe. But God has made it very clear in his word that we are to be subject to the higher powers, whatever they may be, and that he is in control of them. He can raise them up. He can pull them down. He can remove them. He can change what they do because he's God. But in the meantime, we are to pay our taxes and we are to obey and pray for our leaders until they step over this line. Amen. So, another practical passage for Christians. Be subject unto the higher powers. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word, for this practical passage on how we are to respond to our leaders. And Lord, may we remember how important it is that you command us to pray for them. May we include them on our prayer list, Lord, and lift them up to you and leave the rest to you. And in the meantime, obey your scriptures in this area. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts would continue to be humble and soft as you commanded us in this passage. And we do thank you for speaking to us from your word, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.